Good morning. It's April 24th, and this is your daily brief in world news. Here's everything you need to know. In a courtroom in New York, a trial unfolds that could have significant implications for former President Trump and his political future. At the heart of the case are alleged hush money payments made to silence Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal about their affairs with Trump, drawing the nation's attention to the courtroom drama and its cast of key witnesses. Among those called to testify are Trump's former associates, Michael Cohen, David Pecker, Hope Hicks, and Alan Weisselberg. Each witness brings a unique perspective to the table, potentially shedding light on Trump's involvement and the extent of efforts to suppress damaging stories. David Pecker, the former National Enquirer publisher, has already disclosed attempts to bury negative press about Trump, implicating himself and possibly Trump in the process. Hope Hicks, Trump's former campaign press secretary, might offer insights into Trump's direct communications regarding the hush money, while Alan Weisselberg, the ex-CFO of the Trump Organization, is accused of facilitating the reimbursement to Cohen for the payment. The dynamic in the courtroom has been tense, with the judge criticizing Trump's lawyer for losing credibility and threatening fines for Trump's non-compliance with a gag order. The stakes are high, as the trial's outcome could directly impact Trump's political ambitions, including his potential candidacy in an upcoming election rematch with President Joe Biden. The trial, adjourned for the Passover holiday, is set to resume on Thursday, leaving the nation in suspense as it awaits further developments and the judge's decision on the gag order violation. In a move that has ignited a firestorm of debate, the UK Parliament has recently passed a law that could see asylum seekers deported to Rwanda. This decision has not only put the UK at the center of a contentious global discussion, but also signals a shift in how countries manage migration and asylum requests. The law's approval has drawn sharp criticism from prominent international bodies, including the UN Refugee Agency and the Council of Europe. These organizations have raised concerns about the potential implications for the rights and well-being of asylum seekers affected by this policy. The criticism underscores a growing unease with the direction of migration management policies, not just in the UK, but across Europe. This legislative move by the UK Parliament is reflective of a broader trend among European nations to tighten their borders and outsource their immigration control responsibilities to third countries. However, experts in the field argue that such approaches have not been effective in reducing migration flows. Instead, they have led to increased human suffering, challenging the morality and efficacy of these policies. Critics specifically target the UK-Rwanda deportation plan, arguing that it fails to deter migration effectively and does not provide a sustainable model for European immigration policy. Despite these criticisms, the Rwandan government has welcomed the approval of the bill, viewing it as recognition of Rwanda's efforts to create a safe and secure environment for individuals relocated to its territory. This development raises important questions about the balance between controlling migration and ensuring the protection and rights of asylum seekers. It also highlights the complex and often contentious nature of international migration management, prompting a reevaluation of strategies and their impact on human lives. The latest State of the Climate Report for 2023 by the World Meteorological Organization, or WMO, has unveiled a concerning trend. Asia is now at the forefront of weather, climate, and water-related disasters, experiencing unprecedented impacts that underscore the urgent need for global climate action. This year's report paints a stark picture of the challenges faced by the continent, with record-breaking sea surface temperatures in the Northwest Pacific Ocean, and a warming rate that exceeds the global average, signaling a red alert for the region's climate resilience. Asia's battle against nature's fury in 2023 was marked by devastating floods and storms, resulting in over 2,000 lives lost and directly affecting 9 million people. The economic and human toll of these disasters has been particularly severe in developing countries within Asia, highlighting the disproportionate impact of climate change on vulnerable nations. Despite the grim statistics, the effectiveness of early warning systems in saving lives stands out as a beacon of hope, demonstrating the potential of preparedness and timely response. The WMO's report goes beyond cataloging disasters to call for a concerted effort to improve climate services and risk management strategies. Emphasizing the need for tailored climate change adaptation measures, the organization points to the critical role of international solidarity and financial support. Developing countries in Asia require urgent assistance to enhance their resilience and capacity to respond to climate impacts, with the WMO advocating for immediate action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and adapt to our changing world. This call to action serves as a reminder of the interconnected nature of our planet and the shared responsibility to protect it. In a wave of activism that's sweeping across some of America's most prestigious campuses, pro-Palestinian activists at universities, including Columbia University and New York University, are not just making headlines, they're sparking a nationwide debate on free speech, safety, and the complexities of international politics as they play out on college grounds. These protests, calling for divestment from Israeli assets and the reversal of disciplinary actions against pro-Palestinian activism, have gained momentum in the wake of recent conflicts between Israel and Hamas, bringing a global issue right to the steps of academia. The protests have been particularly intensified after the recent Hamas terrorist attack on Israel and the subsequent war in Gaza. A rally at Washington Square Park in New York City stood out, with protesters chanting for an Intifada revolution and voicing anti-Israel sentiments. This has led to a significant reaction from various quarters, including the Israeli consulate in New York City, which has expressed deep concern over the rise in anti-Semitic incidents at schools in the wake of these protests. The Biden administration's education chief has also stepped into the fray, slamming the surge in anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim hate on college campuses. This condemnation highlights the fine line universities are walking in, trying to balance the right to free speech with the need to maintain safety and order on campus. In response, there's been a noticeable shift towards more heavy-handed disciplinary measures against protesters. However, it's not all about discipline. Universities are actively seeking ways to de-escalate the situation. They're engaging in dialogue with protesters, aiming to identify actions that could lead to a peaceful resolution of the unrest, all before the academic term draws to a close. This approach reflects the broader challenge facing educational institutions today: how to be arenas for the free exchange of ideas while ensuring those ideas don't lead to hostility or harm. In a move that has sent shockwaves through Israel and beyond, Major General Aharon Haleva, the Israeli intelligence chief, has resigned. This decision comes in the wake of the catastrophic Hamas attack on October 7th, which resulted in the tragic loss of 1,170 lives, predominantly civilians. This marks a pivotal moment in Israel's history, as Haleva becomes the first high-ranking official to resign due to the intelligence oversights that led to this disaster. Haleva's departure after 38 years of service is not just about personal accountability. It's a reflection of the deep-seated issues within the intelligence community that allowed such a tragedy to occur. The magnitude of the attack and the significant civilian casualties have ignited calls for further resignations, suggesting a broader crisis of confidence in Israel's security apparatus. The political ramifications of this event are far-reaching. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu finds himself at a crossroads, with his leadership under scrutiny amidst a backdrop of intelligence failures and mounting pressure to respond to Hamas. Meanwhile, the international community watches closely as the United States considers imposing sanctions on the Israeli military's Netzah Yehuda battalion, accused of human rights abuses in the West Bank. Despite the outcry and calls for restraint, Netanyahu has pledged to escalate military efforts against Hamas, a stance that diverges sharply from global appeals to reduce civilian casualties. On the diplomatic front, Ireland's deputy premier is stepping into the fray, embarking on a mission to Egypt and Jordan in hopes of brokering a ceasefire, and advocating for a two-state solution to the ongoing conflict in Gaza. As Israel announces plans for a ground offensive, the international community's concerns grow louder, signaling a potential turning point in how Israeli leadership is held accountable for its actions. This series of events underscores not only the immediate need for a strategic reassessment, but also the long-term implications for peace and security in the region. This has been your daily brief in world news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.